Love Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up.
Good evening and welcome to In the Know with Mo. This is your host, Maureen Forte. Tonight we're talking about justice must not be denied, Trayvon Martin. And my special guest tonight joining me is my social justice, well, the National Action Network Chicago Chapter Social Justice Secretary, J. Latrice Koger. And she's out here on the battlefield addressing a lot of issues and concerns. So I want to welcome her, and later on we will have joining us our Vice President, Floyd Davis. And tonight we're going to be discussing the verdict of Zimmerman. And we were in shock. I know I was in shock. And Reverend Al Sharpton did release a statement that this was a slap in the face. And Reverend Al Sharpton is the national president and founder of National Action Network. So I want to welcome J. Latrice. Welcome, J. Latrice.
Thank you, Maureen.
So we are on. We have just been. Floyd Davis is welcome. Floyd Davis.
Hello. How are you?
Okay, yes. And I now have the Vice President Floyd Davis of National Action Network and our Social Justice Secretary as we get into the conversation of justice must not be denied for Trayvon Martin. And our opening song was Wake Up Everybody by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. But I want to turn the tables. Well, we have at half an hour. I want to turn and open up the floor to J. Latrice, because J. Latrice is out here. We're all out here in our own way. And like I had mentioned to her, what I had to do last night because of the verdict. So I'm giving it to you, J. Latrice. What's your feeling on where are we going with this verdict of Zimmerman?
Well, actually, Maureen, I wasn't shocked by the verdict. I wasn't. I followed the case daily. I watched it daily. And then the thing that was the big turning point for me was when the judge actually gave the instructions to the jury. And I listened to her instructions bit by bit, piece by piece, word by word. And listening to the instructions that she gave the jury, I came away thinking, I even put it on Facebook, I talked about it at the gym, people attacked me, said I was a reverse racist. But listening to her instructions, I walked away knowing that there was no way they were going to convict him of second-degree murder. Secondly, I was very doubtful about the manslaughter case, simply because of the instructions that were given to the jury. And then when the jury asked again about the manslaughter, when they sent the message to the judge and they wanted to be clear on the manslaughter charge, I knew then, I felt then, that they were trying to discredit the manslaughter charge. I was not surprised at all by this verdict. Not at all. I wasn't.
What about you, Floyd? What's your thinking?
Well, my thinking is that we woke up this morning back in 1954 again. We've got to go, and it seems like we're at the starting line again. I mean, we've just saw the very essence of the Voters' Rights Act stripped away. we're seeing that a six-jury panel made up of six European descendants in America judging an African-American and, well, judging the life of an African-American and saying that it wasn't worth the value of one Zimmerman, who not only did he stalk this young man, but after being repeatedly to stop by the authorities while he was on the phone, continued and shot him down like an animal. I mean, these things are being portrayed as, you know, to the world, as this is the face of America. So what's the difference between Emmett Till in 1957 and Trayvon Martin today in 2013? It's a clear-cut case of violation of civil rights.
And so I know Reverend Sharpton had put a statement out, and National Action Network and myself, representing the National Action Network, along with Reverend Jackson, did a press conference today. And within that press conference, like Keith and I were speaking earlier about seeking a civil case. But now, as I'm learning, is because all of you bring something different to the table, it's more to a civil case than meets the eye. You know, it's amazing how I can get fined for shooting the coyotes on my porch and carried away to jail. Or what's the guy's name? Mr. Vic, who was doing the dog fighting, sentenced to
prison. Michael Vic.
But yet and still, Zimmerman shoots and kills a juvenile. And he's arrested 44 days later. And he walked into jail without handcuffs. And that probably wouldn't have even happened at the protest and wasn't brought to attention. So we're asking, what's our level of insult?
Oh, it's ridiculous. Although I wasn't surprised by the verdict, I was outraged by it, because it's saying black life means nothing. That is essentially what it did. I agree with Floyd. It took us back 60 years with this verdict. But here's the thing, Maureen. There is a big difference between a civil suit and a civil rights suit.
Okay.
A civil rights suit, as you know, the Department of Justice came out and they issued a statement today after Ben Jealous went on his NAACP networks. I'm sorry, NAACP website and started the petition, and also had it on MoveOn.org. In fact, within the first 15 minutes of having it up, they got over 225,000 signatures before the site went down because of such heavy traffic. But here's the thing: Ben Jealous, as well as Reverend Al Sharpton, as well as Reverend Jesse Jackson, they're all calling for a civil rights case to be filed by the Justice Department. And the Justice Department actually issued a statement today saying that they have an ongoing case already, and, you know, that they, in fact, their statement specifically said experienced federal prosecutors will determine whether the evidence revealed the prosecutable violation of any of the limited federal criminal civil rights within their jurisdiction, and whether the federal prosecution is appropriate in accordance with the department's policy governing successive federal prosecution following a state trial. That was their issue statement. So, and to me, that statement says they're probably not going to do it. In fact, as we all know, Zimmerman would have never been charged if there wasn't such a rallying cry brought to the public about him not 46 days later. It took 6 weeks to bring this man in for an indictment. So the fact that the Justice Department is saying that they have an ongoing case, and in light of the statement they issued today, it's going to take more rallies, it's going to take more public awareness to bring a civil rights case. But the thing that's going to hinder, that can hinder a civil rights case, is that the fact that he was found not guilty of manslaughter. For it to be a civil rights case, the burden of proof is on us to prove that it was a violation of his civil rights. And the fact that race was never really brought up in his criminal trial is going to hinder the civil rights trial. And I watched Meet the Press this morning, and so many attorneys commented on that.
Exactly. Well, race matters. Go ahead, Lord, Mr. Davis.
Yeah, definitely, definitely race matters. And the simple fact that this was a young man who was protected by the Constitution with every right that every other American citizen has, was walking legally through the streets of a city in America. He was not being chased because they thought he was involved in any criminal activity. He was not a suspect in any crime. There was no warrant issued and posters placed around saying, be on the lookout for this individual. He was clearly exercising his rights as a citizen of the United States. This Zimmerman, Mr. Zimmerman, took on his role as a community watchdog group member and proceeded to follow the young man based on racial profiling. As simple as that. Everyone, they don't want to talk about the racial issue. You know, we can't talk about that. We've got a black president now. We've got a black attorney general. But still, the system of institutional racism is alive and well. We just saw a clear example of it today. A federal civil rights violation is a clear-cut case. I mean, it seems basic. I mean, when the authorities speak, you're supposed to heed their instruction. That's the law, right?
Exactly. So when, it's just like go ahead, I'm sorry.
When the authorities notified Mr. Zimmerman to stop following the young man, from that point on, everything that came behind that was clearly a violation of the law. It wasn't sanctioned by anyone. If you're walking down the street right now and the police stop and say, hold up, stop, put your hands up, or give me your ID, if you continue to proceed, they're going to arrest you. Then they're going to charge you if you try to resist. Right, go ahead.
That's why I was saying he was given a directive. And, you know, as a child growing up yourself, if your parents gave you a directive and you didn't follow, you were punished. And here he was clearly given a directive. And I recall looking at part of the trial where they said the dispatcher was not a police officer. The dispatcher gave the directive, but yet still the dispatcher is the one that is trained under the police department. And so if that dispatcher had given him a directive to stay in your car and do not pursue, right there, I just figured the man was going to be charged right there for not following the directive.
Exactly.
And that's what I was just going to bring up with you. And Floyd, the fact that it came out that the dispatcher is not a police officer. So that's why it was not a violation of the law. He could have been arrested for that alone, but the dispatcher is not a police officer, which is why that was never called into question. If you think about the entire trial and if you think about his whole arrest and his indictment, he was never indicted for failure to follow instructions from a police officer because it was a dispatcher. I was just going to bring that up before you did. So the most fundamental right of the civil rights is the right to life. And that is what George Zimmerman violated when he stalked and then took the life of Trayvon Martin. So that's where the violation of the civil rights comes in. He definitely violated his civil rights, but it's up to the Justice Department to take that on. That's not for an individual attorney to do. The Justice Department has to pursue this case just like they did with the Rodney King case.
Absolutely.
And that's why we need public pressure on the Justice Department, because if you know, they did not specifically respond to Reverend Al Sharpton or the NAACP. They just issued a statement that was read today on the press. They did not specifically address that. You know what I mean? They said they have an ongoing investigation. So we also have, the Trayvon Martin family also has the right to pursue a civil lawsuit. But see, the civil laws and Florida are different from California, where O.J. Had a civil lawsuit brought against him. I was also watching the attorney speak today, and they have the right to bring a civil lawsuit, but the thing is, in Florida, if they bring a civil lawsuit, then Zimmerman has the right now to be represented under the Stand Your Ground law. He was never represented under that in this criminal case. He was not. They just used self-defense. Stand Your Ground came up, but it was never his defense. he can now invoke this defense in a civil suit, and then he can petition the judge for immunity. If the judge grants him immunity under the Stand Your Ground Act, he doesn't even have to testify. And even worse, if the Trayvon Martin family loses in civil court under Florida law, they would have to pay this gentleman's legal costs. Florida laws are backwards and in the dark ages.
And it pays to know the law because each state is different. And I'm glad
each
you mentioned that because each state is different. State laws rule. And I'm just wondering, you know, with Zimmerman shooting an African-American black teen, what's the mindset of our youth here in the state or nationwide where there's black-on-black crime? You know, because with Zimmerman getting away with the crime that he committed to a juvenile, it's like your life, black life doesn't matter. There's no value on black life. So I'm just hoping and praying that the young men and women who are out here shooting and killing every day would just wake up and realize the shooting and killing that they're doing because it's a poverty issue, okay? What
Absolutely.
Must they do to understand that they need to change their ways because their lives do matter and they matter? And
exactly.
I know, Florence, you work with a group, Woodlawn Battle on the Wax for Peace, and I know you're out here constantly trying to embrace and educate the young men. So where do you think we're going from here? Because the violence, you know, after tomorrow, I just think some more eruption is going to happen in the city.
Well, the whole system, our politicians, our business community, the whole nine yards, we need to collectively brand an issue. Just as with the civil rights movement and SCLC, you know, when you saw SCLC involved in something, you knew that their issue was civil rights. Now, civil rights covered a plethora of issues, but the main strategy and the main agenda was civil rights. Today, collectively, nationally, we need to set an agenda that everybody can agree on, everybody can move forward on, and everybody can see the benefits to our community. The issues and the problems that are affecting our community today stem from poverty. There's no other way around it. And unless we deal with the issue of poverty, create some economic engines in our communities and some economic systems that will perpetuate this prosperity, we will continue to see the same problems that we've been focusing on for the last 40 years, whether we call it gangs or gangs and drugs or at-risk youth. But in a microcosm of what's happening in our city, in the Woodlawn community, we work frontline with the youth, the at-risk youth, the high-risk youth, with the Woodlawn Battle on Wax for Peace. And initially through personal and professional development classes, mentoring, and just connecting, just communicating with the youth, we were able to establish this relationship and then show directly a direct correlation between the issue of poverty and the attitude and mindset. We went from sitting in the classroom and introducing the youth to the social norms and social etiquette and how to perform and act in the workplace and in social settings to now employing them. We've employed close to 60% of our initial group of participants, and we've seen them grow and mature into the community. So they're not pariahs in the community. They actually now are working in the community. They're performing civic duties within the community. And as a result of that, last year this time we saw 12 murders in the Woodlawn community. Mm-hmm. This year we've seen one. So, you know, there are ways to bring the youth in and integrate them back into society, but it's going to take resources.
Right.
And if Trayvon was here in Chicago, he would fit right in with your program. I mean, he was a smart young man. I mean, he was sent home from school, but Trayvon was an honor student with a 3.7 GPA. He had been accepted into college on a full ride, which means everything was paid for.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right. And he volunteered. He had volunteer hours, over 600 service hours. And a devoted member of his church. And he was just an innocent boy with black skin, Skittles, and a hoodie. And because of the black skin and the Skittles and the hoodie, he was a threat to the community. But yet still, Zimmerman had a gun with a bullet already in the chamber.
Yeah, see, that's the message that America is sending out. That's the message that America is sending out to the world today. A young African-American is a danger. He's a threat. No matter where you see him at, he's a threat. And you always have that option to fall back on. He was a threat because of the images that are portrayed daily of the young African-American male and female. So, again, we as a people have to collectively come together and set an agenda so that we can deal with all of the branches that stem from that root called poverty.
So justice must not be denied. We must stay calm in the action of all the listeners. The board is really lit up, but no one wants to talk. I want to thank those that are listening. I want to thank you for tuning in. But we must stay calm and must deal with this with dignity and discipline, but yet we must remain focused. And as Reverend Sharpton had mentioned, the acquittal of George Zimmerman is a slap in the face to the American people, but it is only the first round in the pursuit of justice. I know
that's
we're
right.
We're coming to the end of our segment here with James Treese Colger, who is our social justice secretary, and my vice president, Floyd Davis. So I want to lead off with you, Jay Latrice, if you have some last words of encouragement for our listening audience.
I do. First, I just want to say that I think that the Martin family will be very successful. And just from listening to the facts and just from watching the different attorneys speak today, very successful in a lawsuit, a civil lawsuit against Zimmerman. Because for a civil lawsuit, all you have to do is prove wrongful death. So mm-hmm. they don't have to prove that it was murder. They don't have to prove that it was manslaughter. All they have to do is prove wrongful death. And simple negligence is enough if it results in death. So did Zimmerman act negligently when he exited his vehicle to pursue Martin, even though a 911 operator told him not to? That was negligent, even though he didn't, he wasn't instructed by a police officer, but a 911 operator informed him that he did not need to pursue. So that was negligent. And so would the 17-year-old still be alive if Zimmerman had not done so? Of course. So that's simple negligence right there. And that's all you need to prove a civil lawsuit, whereas a civil rights lawsuit, oh, the burden of proof is extreme. It's very extreme. So I just want people to be encouraged that this is not the end of the Trayvon Martin saga. And then know that this has caused the national spotlight to be on this issue of the Stand Your Ground law. You had Michael Bloomberg, the New York mayor, he's saying that he's going to try to help overturn this law, the law that was enacted in 2006 in Florida, the Stand Your Ground law. What it has done is basically allow gun owners, and this was a big, make no mistake about it, this was bigger than Trayvon Martin. This verdict today was a stamp of approval for the gun lobbyists who lobbied so hard to get the Stand Your Ground law enacted. This was a stamp of approval for them. This was about not just about Trayvon, but about money as well. We have to look at
yes,
the big
yes.
picture.
Okay, I want to, Floyd, you have some, we have a couple of minutes.
Yes, just.
Floyd, you have some last words.
Okay. As we embark on this journey to draw attention and build off of this national attention being drawn to Trayvon, we must remember the difference between demonstrations and strategy. We must understand that marches draw attention, they gather the attention of the people and draw attention to the movement, but it was the boycotts that was a strategy. because the strategy was to inflict some type of damage to the ones that were standing in the way of our progress. And the greatest way you could attack them was in the pocketbook. Rosa Parks refused to get up, they marched, but at the same time, they wasn't paying to get on those buses.
That's right.
That caused change. So as we march and march and we talk about Trayvon, let's also figure out what is the strategy to effect change. Legislation or decisions.
And one thing we need to do is increase our voting, register to vote. Not just register to say you registered, but register and get out and exercise that right to vote. I want to thank both of you for being on, and we're going to come back and hit another show because there is some follow-up. And I want to thank those that are listening to In the Know with Mo with my guest, Jay Latrice Colger, who is our Social Justice Secretary, and also the Vice President of National Action Network, Floyd Davis. Race matters. Juvenile justice matters. Following a directive not to pursue matters. Black-on-black murder goes unsolved. And unreasonable sentences are given to black-on-black crimes, or they just don't know what happened. So they yet and still Zimmerman, a white man, shoots and kills a black teenager, and he goes free. And in the words of Dr. King, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We must unite. We must come together. So I want to thank all of you. Until next time, you can listen to In the Know with Mo. Thank you. Jay Latrice and Floyd.
Thank you.
Thank you.